Joining us, you're listening to the Tripping the Void on 107.7 in New Orleans, Louisiana. I am one of the co-hosts of Tripping the Void. Usually you hear my PIC or partner in crime and bestie, Seraphine Hurley, is the one that starts the show. She's off this evening. Send her lots of love, lots of healing, lots of good prayers. She hopefully will be back very, very shortly. But I have a very, very special guest this evening. Before I get to my guest, though, a few things just to remind you. Come over and join us in the United Public Radio's YouTube channel. That's where the chat is. I will be keeping an eye there. We are also now live on Twitch. You can go to UFO Paranormal. That's what it's called, radio. You can find our channel. We're streaming live there, but I'll be watching the chat just in YouTube. I'm sorry, I haven't got enough devices to stream and keep an eye on both the chat. So come on over there, because you're going to have a lot of questions tonight, a lot of comments. I know there was a lot of interest before this. He was supposed to be on my show, The Angel Rock, last Monday, but due to unfortunate circumstances, we weren't able to do that. So that's why we have a guest this evening. Lastly, just want to remind you as well that we have premium content for those of you that choose to subscribe under our YouTube channel. There's lots of great extras, lots of great premium shows you won't see in the regular content. Some people are teaching classes. There's all kinds of things, so be sure to check that out. I also want to apologize for a few minutes late. My fault. I spilt coffee on my keyboard, so thank you to the powers that be that let my computer work. Now, tonight, I saw this gentleman. His video was sent to me. He's a fellow Canadian. I forgot to mention I'm in Canada as well. And for those of you maybe that don't know a little bit about me, I should tell you, again, my name's Laura Lee Potvin. I'm from Thunder Bay, Northwestern Ontario. I'm a psychic medium. I'm a crystal Reiki energy healer, Akashic Records practitioner, spiritual teacher and mentor, and I'm also a nurse. But I do have people that send me great links and articles from all around the world. And one of our regular viewers here, I believe it was Shady D or / Shadow Designs, sent me this gentleman's link. And it was this live. And the minute I heard him speak, I went, wow, I need to contact him. I need to have him on our network. So I'm so grateful to have him. I'm going to introduce his name and then read a little bit of his bio for you. His name is Juan Manzor. And you can correct me after that, Juan, if I didn't say your last name correctly.
It's all good. You got it.
He was originally born and raised in Montreal, joined the Canadian Forces as an infantier in 88 at the age of 18. In 1991, transferred to the medical forces as a combat medic. He's participated in 3 missions overseas, Bosnia, Herzegovina in 93 during the Balkan War, Haiti in 1997. Oh God, you saw things there, I'm sure, as well. And then Bosnia again in 2001, 2002. You've also taught young troops as an instructor from 2004 to 2008 at the Canadian Forces Medical Services School. And then in 2008, you had an awakening to the 9/11 hoax. And in 2011, you were diagnosed with PTSD. And in 2014, you retired. Now you are living in Ecuador temporarily, hoping to someday go back to Canada if and once we unite and beat the NWO. Quite a story. Exactly. Welcome. I'm so glad to have you here.
Very good to be here. Very good to be here. I'm glad that you contacted me. I'm just going to state just before we, like, I know we started, but I am no expert in any real field. I'm a jack of all trades. And that being said, I've simply just done lots of research since I awoke to the hoax. And so this is what I've been doing. I quickly became a black sheep when I figured it out. Yeah. And, by the way, you got my name right. It's Juan Manzor. If anybody wants to connect with me on Facebook, that's Juan Antonio Manzor. And you'll notice I have a UN uniform on there, and I am hanging off the ledge of a building. So,
well, you've talked off air, but you just don't really discuss your last names. I knew your name was Juan. And he actually, yeah. He's three languages or more, because I've heard you speak French, Spanish, and English. Is there any other ones?
Yes. No. I understand a little bit of Creole from Haiti and just a little bit of Bosnian from when I was over there overseas. I had the privilege of teaching troops. And when I say privilege, I'm very proud of the service that I've done. The only thing is now, and I don't regret anything from my past at all in any sense. So people have asked, you know, do you regret what you've done knowing what you know now? I don't, because it brought me to the place I am today. I truly believe that every single circumstance, every single thing we've been through in life takes us to where we need to go. This is how I view everything. And in 2008, I saw a video called Collapse. By then, I was teaching troops at Canadian Forces Base Borden, aspiring young medics. And every morning, I got to say, I would walk into that classroom and I would give them everything of me, like my heart. I would pour my heart in that classroom. I wanted them to be able to perform their duties as best as they could, because I truly believe that terrorists had knocked down the Twin Towers. That's where I was.
Well known, just to stop you there. I know you're not a person of ego, but with talking to you privately, you were well known within the Canadian forces and within the military, weren't you? Because of your long career too.
Very. I mean, I was privileged to be part of a 3rd Royal 22nd Regiment as a medic. There was only 27. It was light infantry. So light infantry basically were on foot. So we were 27 privileged, I will say privileged medics to be on foot. It was almost like a special service, like special forces.
Yeah.
And there was only 27 of us across the board, and our names were quickly, we would walk into any regiment, any institution, when they would see our uniform, know where we were from, they knew who we were, and they paid respects to what we were doing. Right. It was just like that. It's very ego-driven. The forces is very ego-driven, very competitive, right? Very competitive. And so when I was asked to be an instructor in 2004, I quickly accepted. Mm-hmm. And I brought everything I learned from on the terrain into that classroom. And quickly, within about a year or two, as I was instructing, my name was known from the East Coast to the West Coast and back and then some. So whenever I'd walk in a classroom, I'd ask the classroom if anybody had not heard of the name of Sergeant Manzer, because that's the rank I retired at. And whoever did not raise up their hand, who did not know me, I felt sorry for them, because they were going to have a hard time adjusting. And I made it like that because I knew that I needed them to be able to perform the best that they could on the ground. That's what I did. And I'll give you a little in, Laurie. I would show them videos of what was going on in Afghanistan, stuff that was not supposed to be shown. Mm-hmm. I would show them those videos so I can bring the reality of what it was into that classroom, right? And at one point in my life, this is what happens. I truly believe, like, we are living in a matrix.
Yes.
I was programmed. I was indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. I was taught from a very young age that Santa Claus was real. And you're grown up. We grow up with all these sorts of lies, right? Yes. All these lies, the tooth fairy, like everything, all these lies. So when I joined the forces, what was taught to me was what was driven through the media, what was driven through the government, right? What was driven through our chain of command. So yeah. I was literally indoctrinated in a system where I did not question. I didn't question the chain of command.
But did any of us, you and I are very similar in age with talking privately and, you know, the things we grew up, I've been saying this on air and off air. I remember as a child watching the news, like with, I think it was Walter Cronkite. It was one of those news stations that said news you can trust. Like, and we're still finding baby boomers, people our age, even younger, that are believing everything. They got to hear it through the mainstream media or it's not true. That's what the show, some of it's going to be about tonight. We're going to shatter the reality of a lot of people know. Go ahead.
Laura Lee, you remember the Twin Towers? I mean, you saw the CGI pics of those planes hitting.
I remember where I was. Right? I was home. Right? I remember seeing it. And my husband at the time, my first husband, had knee surgery. And I think we were watching Regis and Kelly or something. I can't remember. And I remember, and my mouth just dropped. And then there was, even back then, we could not believe that the way those towers collapsed and when they did and what happened. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps telling you that. Yeah. We knew back then something couldn't have been right. Like, there's no way. So go ahead. You were saying that
Felt like we were invincible. Really. I thought that we were like invincible. When I was training to go to Bosnia IFOR, so Implementation Force, in 2001, 2002. And this is in, so in September 11, I'm driving into base in uniform, ready to go continue my training, because we were leaving in November of that year. And one of my buddies stops me on the road. Like, it was like there's 5,000 members on that base, but I had been on that base for 15 years. So yeah. You get to know familiar faces. Absolutely. So they saw my car stop me right on the road. I rolled my window down and they said, you know, Manzer, did you hear that they just attacked the Twin Towers? And I was like, what? The Twin Towers, it says they're not even standing anymore. They're completely on the ground. And I did not believe it. I couldn't believe it. I'm getting shivers now. So I drive into the unit and there it is, like the hustle and bustle, all these soldiers. It's just everything was, you know, we could not believe it. We're watching the screen. I believe that afternoon we hardly had any training. It was just all about 9/11. Right. I think shortly after the name Osama bin Laden came on board, people were like, we were watching the CGI pics of, you know, the film of these planes that are hitting the building. Mm-hmm. So we didn't question it. I didn't look at anything after that. Like I didn't notice it was a demolition. I didn't know none of that. All it was a shock, right? Mm-hmm. The shock was it the shock. There's a name for it. Anyways, it was shocking to see it. And so after that, like I gave myself even then some more and then some into what I was doing, because I truly believed that we were going to go fight terrorists.
Yeah.
So anyways, so I head to Bosnia. We're all like, oh, because we wanted to go. Like could you imagine training to be a cook for 20 years and you never get to cook for real? You can't be a chef for real.
Or an athlete.
So the Canadian forces were
training for this big game that you've never been to. You're ready. Like you're vested.
You're ready to go. You want to go. Yes. So we're United Nations peacekeepers. Like Canadians were known as peacekeepers all around the world. Wherever you go, that oh les casques bleus en français, you know, in French. Oh, look at the blue berets, right? That Canadian peacekeepers. But we didn't want to be peacekeepers. We wanted to be combat troops. Like we wanted to go and do what we were trained to do, because that's what we were trained. So here we are in Bosnia, and we're envious of the troops that are getting the RCR, the PPCLI. The Pickleys, Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry, are getting sent on the terrain. So we're envious of them, right? Anyways, that story took me right into, I did my mission. I came back. It's still the main subject. It's never – and then a year after that, they celebrate 9/11 again and 9/11 again. So when they asked me in 2003 if I wanted to be an instructor at the school, I thought, well, if I'm not going to be going to Afghanistan, the next best thing is to train troops that are going there. Yeah. Excuse me. So I head over to the base, and as soon as I got my first class in front of me, I give it everything I got. And that's what I did for the next 4 years, 2004 to 2008. Now, in between that thing, of course, we're still in the matrix. I'm listening to the news. I'm listening to the mainstream music, because it's all part of it. This matrix is everything. It's all about the music. It's all about the television. It's all about Hollywood, the films that you're watching. It's all being drilled into us. It's like as soon as you're sitting in front of a screen, I didn't know it then, but now I know, it brings you to a hypnotic state. So it's all suggestive programming in your subconscious. So here I am absorbing all this stuff. I'm completely in the matrix. Understand that I am part of the troops. In nowhere did I ever think that I was going to become, like today, a person seeking truth. Truther is what in the community they call truthers, right?
Yeah.
So 2007, I go through a huge breakup, a really bad breakup. And at that point, I go bankrupt. I lose my reputation at the school because I couldn't perform my duties. At that point, I couldn't even afford cable TV. So I have no cable. No more satellite TV, no more Wi-Fi. I'm so depressed. I'm going through this breakup. Now I'm bankrupt. We're selling this house that I'm going. I'm losing money, right? And I steal the Wi-Fi off a neighbor on base. Like so, I'm stealing the Wi-Fi. Like, you know, right? Yeah. We remember we had unsecured Wi-Fi. You didn't. If you wanted to secure it, you did it yourself. Mm-hmm. So this person had unsecured Wi-Fi, and I switch on my laptop. And I come across a documentary called Collapse, and my jaw dropped. See, I had been months without cable, months without watching any news, months without listening to any music, and that's where my deprogramming started. At the same time, because I'm going through so much difficulty, my chain of command is on my ass. Where I used to be on top of my game, now I'm the lowest of the low. I have a hard time showing up to to work. I am depressed. I'm even suicidal. Like I was even suicidal. I didn't understand why, but I understand now all the previous missions had really affected me to a point that I didn't know. It's all this bubbling up, right? Your central nervous system keeps all these memories, right? All of it, all the pain, all the trauma, everything you've been through on mission, everything you've been through in life, you know, everything is stored in your body. And I didn't understand this. So I'm going through this period of what I know today as a dark night of the soul. Right.
Yeah, we were talking. That's what I said. I call it the dark night of the soul. It's like hitting rock bottom, and you either sink or you swim, and everything cracks wide open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here I am, and I reach to God. Like, I mean, when you could be the biggest atheist, but when shit's hitting the fan, you hope there's a God somewhere. So I remember I'm on the floor. I got nothing in my name. Like, really, well, I got some stuff, but most of the stuff I lost. And I just start sobbing and crying. And I just said, God, can you just show me the truth? What is going on? So I come across this video called Collapse. My jaw hits the floor. I couldn't believe it. So my mind was open. See, the neural pathways at that point weren't so, like, our brain is neuroplastic. I understand that today. So now I'm listening to this video, which brought me to another video, which brought me to another video, which brought me to another video. Instead of spending sleepless, I was spending sleepless nights already, so I was used to that. So it's like 5 a.m. I finally switched the laptop off. I know I got to get ready in the next couple hours to show up for work to train troops. But when I walk into that classroom and they all go to attention, because I walked in, they all scream, room. That was the drill. I get into the classroom, I look at them, and I'm thinking, I can't, and then I can't do this. I'm sending them to cannon fodder. As cannon fodder, I'm remembering those twin towers drop. I see the demolition explosions, like from floor to floor to floor. And I don't understand every single detail. Of course, even today, I still ask myself questions on exactly what happened, because nobody knows the exact thing, but we do know it was not terrorists. I didn't figure it out till years later that it was CGI. I still thought it was planes, but whatever. I just know that that morning when I went in front of the classroom and they were at attention sitting, staring to the front of the class, I stood there for like 2 minutes, which felt like for an eternity, and there was no words coming out of my mouth. And then I asked the course senior to take them out of the classroom and I'll call them back when I'm ready. They left the classroom and I just said, just get out. Get out. I don't want to see you guys leave. And they left. And I'm pacing around the classroom, and the words that are going through my head is, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. It was I was for the first time in my career, after years and years of giving it all, I just could not do this. See, we're talking about, I joined in 1988. Now we're in 2008. This is 20 years later. And I'm thinking, I can't do this. So that's where I was. Called them back in the classroom. I didn't show them any film that day. I did just strictly content on my pad. It was just that. I didn't give, and shortly after that I was dismissed from the classroom, and they didn't want me in classroom. There was just a change in me. I think when there's a change in you, there's a change in frequency, right? You don't attract what you used to attract. And so I attracted a bunch of bullshit, was what I was attracting into my life. Trouble. I became like a black sheep. I was looking at peer people and I was thinking, you know, there's an economic collapse coming. Like even in 2008, 2009, I figured it out. There's an economic collapse coming. Like we're living a fiat. Like we went through that housing crash in 2008. So I quickly, I started to discover the printing, the Federal Reserve Bank, just printing and printing and printing cash, right? Endless amounts of cash. So I'm thinking there's no way that this can be sustainable. I found out that the cash was fake. I found out the politics were fake. Like, I mean, I found out everything that most listeners now know is fake, but I'm going through this whole deprogramming and it's like, I'm not supposed to know this shit. Like I'm supposed to be able to give my uniform, and I'm looking at my uniform. I mean, I'm going, that uniform is a tool for the Illuminati. That's what I'm looking at. Like I have no more pride in my uniform. Like I still have the uniform at home, but it's not on like most people retire. They put it in a little cabinet, you know, a see-through cabinet. They got their beret in a glass cabinet with all their, you know where my stuff is? In a cardboard box packed up under the stairwell in the house I have in Canada.
Well, it's because you woke up, and you know, what this involves, and I want to get into your story because it really touched my heart when you shared your story that you've left everything in Canada. and you're down in Ecuador, and I asked you why. This was off the air, obviously, and I'd love if you're comfortable with sharing that. But the reason why I think it's important to talk about what we're talking about tonight is so many people are still asleep. And again, unless they see it in the mainstream media, for example, I sent, I think it was from Rebel News, I sent that news story about these isolation camps that are, or whatever you want to call them, internment camps being built in Canada. There's at least 11. There's one that's going to be built in my city. They're in the secondary wave because I'm about 35 minutes away from the Minnesota border. My oldest son, who I was talking to earlier today, I said to you, he lives in another Fort Francis. That's a small community. They're looking building there, Sault Ste. Marie, anywhere where there's a U.S.-Canadian border, it seems like. And the one video I sent, and it's provable. All you have to do is open a computer and take a peek. Like, don't trust me. I tell people that all the time, and I have a lot of respect for people that say that. Don't trust what I say. If something I've said resonates with you, please go down the rabbit hole yourself. You'll find it, just like you did with the video. You started with collapsed, and where were you at the end of the morning, like five videos later, right? You'll find it. And I had two people, and the only reason I shared this with these people, and I only share things with a small group of people, it wasn't to scare them. It's because I care about them, and I truly believe that knowledge is empowering. And one person wrote me back and said, this is complete and utter rubbish. I didn't answer it back. The other person said, please remove me from your mailing list. Well, I don't have a mailing list. We're friends. You're on my friends list. And I didn't know if that meant like remove me on friends list, or I thought, well, if you wanted to, you would have done it yourself. And I didn't do this to scare people. And I was frustrated for about a day. I haven't talked to you in almost a week. I've been so busy, and you have too. I got to realize, with being a spiritual teacher and mentor, I often teach, we can't change people. We can't force people to do anything. It has to come from within. And I realized that, you know what, maybe there'll come a day when that impetus maybe will give them a little nudge and they'll want to take a look. But I'm finding more and more people have no clue. They really believe it's about this election. And there are things that are coming up that, yes, it is about this election. It really is. But it's so much bigger than that. It's a whole global picture. And the more you open one door, there's 1,000 more doors to go under. And this has been going on for so long. And the thing that I love about yourself, and there's a few people I know that have known about this for 30 years. And I think I told you about one of them that's been on the show before, and, you know, trying to make people aware and realizing that wasn't working. But like you said, with fiat currency, it has an expiration date, and we're well over the expiration date. I'd love for you, if you would, for people to explain to them, you're probably better at it than I am, about what fiat currency is, if people don't realize what that is.
Well, first, let's see what actual money is. Money's actual, it's based on resource. It's actually a tradable resource. And originally it was silver and gold, right? Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, we were gold backed since early 1900s. So let's say the Federal Reserve Bank, 1913. 1913, it's absolutely tradable in gold. You bring in a dollar, you get a dollar worth of gold. It was just the way it was, right? Mm-hmm. But then 1944 comes around after the Second World War.
Yeah.
And they had spent an enormous amount of money on that. And so what they did was they did this thing called Bretton Woods, right? So through the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference, they had a United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference. There was 44 countries that were involved in this. And what they did was they basically backed, these 44 countries backed their currencies on the U.S. dollar, which was now not necessarily based on gold, but they would change it to something called the gold standard. Mm-hmm. See, before it was gold. It was absolutely based on gold.
Yeah.
But now they switched it to the name gold standard. And 44 nations followed and based their currencies on the U.S. gold standard currency. So mm-hmm. now it wasn't money anymore. It became currency, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then this was called Bretton Woods. And it developed two things. The IMF and the World Monetary Fund came to life at that point. So this plan was always in effect. Like this was all planned, right? And then 1970 rolls around after the Vietnam War, or during the end of the Vietnam War. And Nixon basically takes off the dollar from the gold standard.
Yeah.
And now he approaches the Saudis and he needs something to back this dollar. So he takes it off the gold standards. Now there's no more gold standard at all. Now they can print how much they want, whatever they want. This is just how it is. And they go to the Saudis, who had the biggest oil reserve, and ask them and say, hey, instead of you guys trading your oil for whatever currency, why don't you just trade it only in US dollars? So every other nation is going to have to still base their currencies on the US dollar. And then the US dollar became the US petrodollar. Mm-hmm. And this is what happened in the 1970s. It was like roaring 70s. It's like money was being printed left and right, because now there was more oil than gold, right? Mm-hmm. There's more oil than gold. Yeah. The issue we have now is that historically, fiat currencies only last about 40 years. So mm-hmm. if you calculate 1970, add 40 years, it brings you to 2010. Mm-hmm. Now we're at 2020, so we're 50 years over, right? Mm-hmm. We are 10 years way, way beyond the life span of a fiat currency. Basically now, and this is where we find just a few months ago, petroleum was calculated at minus 37 a barrel of oil. So mm-hmm. now your dollar is not worth anything. So now we find ourselves in the same predicament as the Germans found themselves. We're just overprinting just to try to keep the value up. Mm-hmm. So now we're going into a state of hyperinflation. So that's fiat currency is basically just based on perception is what it is. You can base fiat currency on air if you want, right?
Or toilet paper, I was thinking. Toilet paper, because somebody decides that this paper is worth money. It has value.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's just perception, and it's basically not worth anything. So now what they're calling for, I was very surprised. I watched it today. See, I spend my days, I'm the guy that you either find interesting or not interesting. I don't watch Hollywood films anymore. I don't. I just I've completely switched off. I don't even listen to mainstream music. I'm that type of guy. Today I was watching a report from RT channel. RT? And they were talking about Bretton Woods, mm-hmm. and they are coming out with Bretton Woods again, but Bretton Woods 2.0, which is basically the Great Reset. This is what they're doing, right?
You asked me about that, if I had heard of this, and I didn't get a chance to answer you. I have heard of the Great Reset, and I want to even back up a little bit. Something I just discovered in the last year that I wasn't aware of, that income tax was only supposed to be temporary. When I believe, now don't quote me, I think it was after the First World War. Again, wars are expensive, right? They create money, but they cost money. And as I understand it, income tax was only supposed to be in place for a short period of time to help recoup the losses from the wars. We're still paying income tax. People are going to jail that don't pay their income tax, and depending how much they owe.
It's against the U.S. Constitution. It's against the Charter of Rights. It's against everything that we stand for. Only people have been drilled through time to accept it just as a normality, right? Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. This was funny. I was with my daughter, who was always used to daddy carried either cash or a card, right? And at one point, I went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a dollar to my, I remember I came out of the bank with $27 to my name. That was mm-hmm. before I went bankrupt. And I'm like, I'm just trying to pay. I'm separating here. So I have my daughter 1 week on two, right? Mm-hmm. So I have my daughter with me, and she says, you know, daddy, can we go to the movies? And I said, dad doesn't have any cash, right? And I'm feeling like shit here. And she says, yes, you do. You have your card. Mm-hmm. You see that? So she's drilled to think that a card is money. Right. So this is how she perceives it. So people, now people think like taxes are a normal thing when it's actually not. Let's go back to 1970. Like Nixon took the dollar off the gold standard so he can pay the Vietnam War and the debt, because he had accumulated a lot of debt. Like, I mean, this is all cumulative debt. And with the promise that he's going to bring it back to the gold standard, he never did. Mm-hmm. Right. So now people are used to having fiat currency. And they think it's money, but it's not. It's a currency. It's just perceived value. So this is what we're dealing with.
Go ahead.
Oh, we're dealing with people that they don't know their history.
You're taking the words out of my mouth. That's just what I was going to say. Yeah. Is the fact is that, and my friend Dan Willis, who I usually have on regularly, he's just taking a bit of a break. He's gone back to 1900 and he has connected all the dots through history, including how the World War really ended, the Second World War, what really happened with the Germans, where the Germans are, including all the false flags. I want to say it's Wernher von Braun, but it's not. It's another one of the big Nazis that on his deathbed revealed what all the false flags would be. And so far, they've all come to fruition. I know the last two that are coming up, and one of them, there's been quite a bit about this in the media that we're hearing little dribbles and drabs. So it may very well be coming. And I know you and I have talked about this, that China has created one of these supposedly. But my point is he says, and so do people that are aware of this, that when you erase history, and you change the details as to what's really happened, we are just destined to create the same mistakes over and over and over again, yeah. Right?
And yeah, we're dealing with people that they know, we can go further than this. I mean, the people that are in power today, I wouldn't even call them human. They know who we are. They know who we are. Like, they know where we come from. They know. And this goes way back, like, thousands of years. Mm-hmm. You know, some people think that, some people think that, like, every empire, like most every empire that has existed has collapsed. Mm-hmm. Historically, it always happened.
Yeah.
The modern empire started in 1776. Now that's 10 generations. It brings us to 2026, right? How do I know this? Because I was open enough when I went through that deprogramming phase, and I thought, and I saw that I was living lies. I just went on my own and started to research this stuff. Like I said, I'm no expert in any single thing. I'm just a person that's interested in the truth. And I seek truth diligently because I want to know where are we going? What is happening? Because I'm interested. Like it's not only interest, it become a passion for me. Like I kept this stuff for me for so many years. You know, when I awoke to this in 2008, I was afraid to talk. I spoke to my then girlfriend.
We all are, and we're being silenced even now today. And I love that you opened the show with that. But I have to say to you, Seraphine, you didn't get a chance to meet her. You will meet her. And I say this often when we do shows together or singularly. We have our own shows on Mondays apart from each other. And we say the same thing. We don't consider ourselves experts in anything, that we're kind of a jack of all trades as well. And I agree with you. It's so important. If there's something that strikes you, just, and I mean the global you, that resonates with you. And I've said this about anything, even when I'm mentoring people, you know, how to access your intuition, whatever it is. If you meet somebody that tells you, I'm an expert, I know all the answers, you need to look no further. My advice would be run, because you know what? And none of us should be experts in this, because the more that I say I open the door, we were talking about the paranormal last night, that good friend of mine from Wales, I finally got him on. We've been trying for about 3 years. And, you know, the more you open this door, whether it's to the Matrix, whether it's to the lies that we've been told, when you have the dark night of the soul, that's usually when it happens, or even the paranormal, whatever it is. You can even lump this under the paranormal. That's all the paranormal means, something with not within the norm. I always say I feel smaller than a one-celled organism, because when it comes to the depth of knowledge, because once you open one door, there's anywhere from 1,000 to a gazillion that you could go down, right?
It's all quantum. It's all quantum. There's a million and one possibilities. It's endless. It's absolutely endless. Just when you think you got the answer, there's something behind it again, and more and more and more. It just doesn't stop.
Years ahead of us about what's going on, which we're going to get into. I just want to check our comments here because we have a few people in the chat.
That's all.
I know, I get into my great phone too much. It's not an earthquake. Like, oh, I can remember to go in the chat. So we've got Zachman. What's that?
Go ahead.
What's that one?
Oh, if I'm moving my phone like this, it's not an earthquake. Because I know there's a bunch of earthquakes that are happening.
I forgot to tell you. I think I told you when we talked privately, but my Skype always has a bit of a delay. So when it seems like there's a pause, and I don't need to talk over anybody if people are new and just listening. So we've got Zach Mann here, who's on holiday in Florida. He's usually in Arizona, so enjoy. He's one of our subscribers to our channel and big supporter of my shows and UPRN. Shady D, she's from Canada as well, and a big supporter. Welcome, you guys. So Shady D, I'm going to go back a bit. She says, got to do what you got to do. Wi-Fi should be available everywhere. Agreed. Just like free energy and everything else.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then she was asking about CGI. CGI is computer generated image. Am I right?
Exactly. Yeah. And when you take a look at the plane, actually, when you're taking a look at the plane and you see that there's a cluster of smoke, because obviously there was smoke coming out of that building, you see the plane that when it crashes, the wing, the wing doesn't disappear through the smoke. The wing goes, like you see the smoke disappear and the wing's still there. It's like, you could tell right away, it's all computer generated. Mm-hmm. And the plane has no windows. It's just one dark object.
No markings, right? I notice that. Mm-hmm.
No markings,
there's
it's
the person I sent you. There's a channel, and I don't agree with everything that they have in their channel. We don't have to, but it's called Anonymous 777 on YouTube. And she has this great documentary that she featured on there by this Dutch filmmaker that's called The Fall of the Cabal. And it starts with things that make you go, and where she was asleep, had her great, her dark night of the soul, if you will, and how she woke up. And she gets into some pretty dark things. Most of the things I was aware of, things like SRA and adrenochrome and all the pedophilia things that are going on, she gets into, there's a picture actually from, I meant to ask my friend from Wales last night, I'll have to ask him privately. There is, it's video actually, and it's really tragic. There's a reporter from overseas that, you know, that he's outside Buckingham Palace because he's watching a parade with some of the guard.
All of this, the kid falls out of
The kid's naked, for those of you that don't know, he's in his teens, completely naked, off the top window of Buckingham Palace, throwing a sheet down, and he falls. I don't know what happened to him, but the thing is that Buckingham Palace denied this, their parliament denied this, a whole bunch of people denied this, so something's not right there. Obviously. Exactly. Anyways, the reason I mentioned this is she did a whole section on 9/11. And there's a girl that used to be a flight attendant that's interviewed in some of these podcasts. I sent it to you, probably didn't get a chance. You probably like me, get a million things sent to you. And she wrote, I think it's called something, Lies of Deception or something. And she takes the facts from 9/11 and her knowledge as a flight attendant. She wasn't on the flight. And she wrote the one book. But as she started digging deeper and deeper, it is based on truth. She discovered in the part that I sent to you were these art students that were part of I'm not going to say the name because I'll say the wrong name. But anyways, they were demolition experts and they were allowed to live on one of the top floors of the Twin Towers. They were supposed to be art students. They were celebrating having a party because they'd actually built a balcony off. You see rows and rows and boxes of demolition fuses, all kinds of stuff, okay? So she uncovered this herself. But the really scary part, they were driving a van around all over. Guess what it had on the outside for a painting? This is before it happened. Twin Towers with the plane flying in with all this smoke all around it. And nobody caught on.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
And who they're connected to, she connected them to part of the U.S. government. I'm trying to remember who it was. I want to say Mondale. I'm not sure. But so she connected all the dots herself and did this. So I'll try and resend it to you. It's not that long. But
no, I'll watch. You're right. I get a bunch of videos every day I sift through them.
So much, right? So I'll get back to your comments here. Sorry.
Okay, please. Yes. Go ahead.
He said, I went down the Twitter hole at 3 this morning, and the stuff I found makes me so sick. She said, I'm following JFK Jr. to see who he is following and who he retweets, because there is somebody that says that they are JFK Jr. There's too many dots to connect with that, including these two mysterious men that show up. And one of them, I left you the message, a voice message, is Juan Savin. And when you start saying Juan Savin as 1-7, 17 is Q. And there's all kinds of things. I've had pictures sent of supposedly them at Trump rallies recently.
I saw that as well.
If he's going to come out, do you believe he's still alive?
No.
I don't know what to believe. No. I'd like to believe he is, but I don't know. Because he should have made his presence known if he was. I guess time will tell. Because there's no reason really for him not to, unless he's waiting till after the election. But there's people that believe that. So anyways, where were we here? So she was down the Twitter hole. And then anyway, she said she just says this, Shady D, whether it's him or not, are there things he is allowed to post and that everyone is getting censored for? She is right about that. But is it even really him? Or is it, as we've talked about, somebody that, you know, is an operative or whatever? Because we have things like that out there that people look like, you know, they're for the people, but it's really to sway the people one way versus the obvious. It's crazy, these things that go on. No wonder they call them conspiracy theorists. And then she said there was a bull rush on Bitcoin the past couple days. And then she said Ripple is expected to take over as the base crypto. Then she mentioned something about Beanie Babies. She said, I told someone a year ago that income tax was illegal. He laughed in my face and told me I was crazy. Yeah, well, most people will. And then Zach Mann says that, Shady D, I agree on your income tax position. And you've just said that yourself. It's unconstitutional. And then Shady D said, look at the fines we're facing for not quarantining for 14 days. Minimum, she's saying $750,000 in 6 months in jail minimum. This is in Canada. And then
illegal, by the way.
Pardon?
All illegal, by the way.
Well, I want to get
all those fines are illegal.
We're talking about how, because I've had arguments with certain people from the U.S. Are you listening, Joe? That we don't have 55,000 Chinese troops in Canada right now hiding out in the reserves. They are.
I have another report here, and I'll talk about that as well. Oh.
Okay, well, I'll just finish these last two comments. So Shady D said, I know what CGI is. She goes, I'm just questioning its use in the instance of 9/11. They've pretty well proven it, that it was hologram, if you will, CGI. And she said, I've never heard of the fact that the planes were CGI. If you take a look around, and I know you're really good at researching, Shady D, you'll find the incident. You'll probably find the clip you were talking about with the smoke and the wing. Right?
You'll find it. And the interesting thing is it's in the angles because it was filmed in multiple angles. Mm-hmm. On one side, you see the plane actually coming in and hitting the building, and you see the explosion coming on the other side of the building. I don't know if you'll picture it in your mind. The plane is coming in, and then you'll see the explosion on the opposite end of the building, right? Yeah. And then the same the camera take on a different angle, okay, of that is you hear an object coming in like a plane. But there's no plane, and you see the explosion coming out of the other side of the building. But at that point, there's
missile.
No plane.
Right? I've just seen the missile from the building that was right next to it.
Mm-hmm. So they did find some engine parts, right, which don't correlate to a plane. But you see the hole in the Pentagon, and the huge suspicion is, and I'm now, mind you, I'm not there. I'm like you. Like, I'm just going through, sifting through all the information. I truly believe, after having done my personal investigation, that what hit the Pentagon was a cruise missile. I think that what hit those buildings were cruise missiles. I think that what they planted were lots of what you said, the demolition dynamite, whatever they use, the charges and everything. Because there was the reports of construction workers going in and out of that building for a few months prior to 9/11. You also have this guy named William Cooper. Bill Cooper was also talked about this. I think it was in June or July of that year, suspecting that there was going to be an attack on the Twin Towers. And he was talking about this on his show, which was called, I can't remember what the show was called, but he wrote a book called The Pale White Horse. Mm-hmm. Very interesting fellow, has died since then. But they never found any piece of a plane at the Twin Towers. Never. They didn't find a wing. They didn't find luggage. They didn't find nothing. What they did find, they didn't find black boxes, right?
Yeah, we know about that too. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But what they did find was a passport.
Yeah, you're reading right? my mind again. Right? Passports and a pair of
right?
right? And, mm-hmm. right? No, there was something you said that was making me think about this too. There was something else, because we've watched quite a bit of this as well. But I just recently, I posted actually in the chat on YouTube, the playlist from that I referenced. And that's not the only reference, but she has some good interviews in there. And even to the fact that in this podcast, there's an hour and a half podcast, and it's called Methodical Deception. I think the flight attendant that wrote this book, she, because of her knowledge, and she says in this podcast, you hear the phone calls from the people that are calling, okay? And you hear the ones that were of interest to her were from the flight attendants. Because she knows the protocol. She knew the protocol for terrorists. She knew the protocols for all this. She said they would not have been calling their family. They would not have been saying the things that they were saying in the phone calls. And she said it was almost like they were leaving clues for somebody that had worked in the industry would realize what they were saying. And she says from what she heard in the phone calls, what these flight attendants were saying, she believes that they were taken to an abandoned hangar and disposed of there, because they were talking about they were going to kill us. They were talking about somebody upstairs. There's no second floor on the planes that this was involving. And it's a really eye-opening perspective from somebody that is a flight attendant, and it makes, you can look it up yourself. She was the one that uncovered about these so-called art students. I want to say the name, if you said it, it's not Al Hijab, I forget. It Al Jazeera, maybe. I'm trying to remember the name, but these students were demolition experts. And you can see, she provides the pictures. You can see rows upon rows upon rows of the boxes. She looks up the serial number, the whole bit. She goes through all the companies. Kellogg's was involved with this. And then as you go down the rabbit hole and you start connecting the dots, I believe, now don't quote me, but it gets back to Walter Mondale, because as she starts the story, it takes about 15 minutes and she says, I'm going to get you there. And you do. It connects all the dots.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's well, and another thing is, like, I've personally tried to use my cell phone on a plane, and it just, you can't connect with anybody.
That's what she said.
You can't connect with anybody.
That video before we talk about anything else. It's a pastor recently that did this, that he took American currency and you fold it into a paper plane, and he did this live, and it you've seen it yourself.
I've seen it. Two towers
to one tower, it depicts exactly what was going to happen. But this is part of excuse me, whatever you want to call it, the NWO, the cabal, whatever you do, it's almost like they believe they're playing fair, because it's like we told you. It was up to you to decrypt it, right?
Exactly. It's all, there's so many clues in the taller. It's like they leave clues everywhere. Like what you're talking about with the van that's going around with the Twin Towers and the plane on there. This is all, like, they know how this matrix works. They know how our collective energy works. They know how we work. Mm-hmm. We're figuring this out right now, like yourself. You're figuring this. We're all trying to figure this out. But they know that once they plant this into the collective, into this quantum existence that we have, then they have more chances of making this happen.
Yeah.
Right. Then they don't. So they direct even our subconscious mind. It's interesting how we work. You know, I don't know how much bits of information. I think it's like 2 million bits of information that we get per second when we are viewing things, right?
Yeah.
And there's so much stuff in our peripheral views. Like we can focus, like now in front of me, there's my wife's boots. Okay. But my peripheral view is capping everything else. If all that information would swap my visual cortex and actually it would light up like a bulb, I'd be like overwhelmed with information. Mm-hmm. So my brain picks and chooses exactly what's going to go into that I can focus on. So I'm going to tell you, I'm looking at a pair of boots when in actual fact, I'm receiving like 2 million bits of information at any second. I think it's like that. Don't quote me on that. I think it's
or
like that.
It's an astronomical number. Never mind. Right? Your subconscious.
Right? Your subconscious notices it, right? So our subconscious, our collective, there's the conscious, the subconscious, the superconscious, right? Stuff we're not even aware of that our superconscious, our collective mind is aware of. So what they're actually doing is they are directing our focus and energy without even us noticing it, right? For I don't know if I'm making sense. For this to actually become physical reality. Like we're just figuring this out now, right?
We're just figuring this out. Existence, or as I call it, the 3D or this 3D existence, okay? It is an existence of creation. So basically, somebody had to think of it and put that thought out there and make it come to fruition. So that's exactly what you're talking about right now. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
So they have the cookie monster is eating the Twin Towers. You have the 9/11 on the Bart Simpson. You have all these things, cartoon Spider-Man, right? You have the spider. I had the original Spider-Man poster for the movie, and you have the Twin Towers there, and he's actually swinging off the Twin Towers. So even Supertramp, you have the Twin Towers, right? Mm-hmm. So Breakfast in America, I think it was the album of the Supertramp. So they bring this into the collective mind. And when they reach a hyper amount of people who are subconsciously assimilating this information, we are way more powerful than what we think that we are, right? I don't know if we're taking this conversation in a completely different direction. We were going to cover multiple subjects, right? It's not just about 9/11. It's about how we work. The collective mind is about how powerful we are. You know, I even learned that apparently they only have 11 strands of DNA. We have 12. And this is why they're the fallen and we're not, right? They're very envious of us. Somebody said,
oh, I got to share something with you. It just brought to mind. I haven't talked to you because we've been trying to talk.
I love this. We can go on and on.
Somebody sent this to me. I think she's going to be listening tonight or she'll be listening tomorrow. So I'm going to give her a little shout out. She'll know who she is. Color blue. You'll know what I'm talking about, honey. Anyway, she sent this link to me and she goes, I think it might be of interest to you. And it's a registered nurse who has been able to see demons since a child. Okay. There's a reason why I'm telling you all this. And she gets into, and I knew it before she said it. She said she had a near-death experience. She was with Archangel Michael. Archangel Michael said, you're here because you need to know who you are. And she said, I'm just me. He goes, no, you're not. Look down. This during her near-death experience. She's about 7 feet tall. And I knew she's going to be a freaking archangel. I knew it. Because human beings aren't supposed to have ever been. Angels aren't ever supposed to have taken human form, right? That's what he tells her. She could hardly believe this. Then she says, as she's looking up, she realizes in the near-death experience, she's got this long red hair. I knew what angel it was. I knew right away, Archangel Ariel. I don't know how I knew. Anyways, the reason why I share this with you is she answers a lot of these questions we've been wondering about, like who are the fallen angels? How did this happen? It makes so much sense what you're talking about, why they're the fallen, what's happened. This is resonating with exactly that video I watched. It's incredible. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I had to add it for
our it's all synchronistic. And as you're seeing that, the number on my phone is 10.
Well, we got into that.
Everything, our awakening. So you're all my friend. I give you a big freaking hug right now. Like, you're amazing. You're absolutely amazing. Like, this is taking me, this is taking us, you, me, and people. I think, and I'm just going to take a side note here. I think that there is a certain amount of people that are called to awaken. Not everyone's going to awaken. And I was always relating this to the number 144 because I see that absolutely everywhere, 144. But there's a certain amount of people, you could call them light workers or messengers or something. There's something encoded in our DNA. And at this certain amount, and now the number is 111. And I know it's after 1010, it's 1011. I know. But as I'm saying these things, I could be looking around on the clock on my oven. And I'll see the number that's going to confirm what is happening, or the synchronicities, like so many synchronicities. Yeah. Me and you were talking and we're connecting on a quantum level, right? Because yeah. we we're resonating at a different frequency. So there's an energy shift happening in our matrix, and there's a certain amount of people that are waking up. So I understand that not everybody's here to awaken, and I've accepted that. But my mission on Earth now, as apart from being a soldier of the Canadian Armed Forces, is I'm a soldier of, and I'm gonna say this because in no way am I religious in any sense, is I believe is a frequency of the Christ, not Christ himself, not that person, but the Christ. There's a something that's arising within us.
Yeah.
And there's an energy shift. And we are now becoming aware of this. And the more we tap into this frequency, the more truth is revealed. And the more we do that, the more people and circumstances are going to come into our life. Synchronicities. Like I think about something. I don't know. I'll think about a yellow taxi, and I turn around, and there's a yellow taxi.
Yes,
like I'll think about
you
it.
And I talk privately about this. I hope you're okay with me saying this. But when I was talking to you and you were sharing some of the things like you just shared now, but in more in depth, the story about the dryer, I don't know if you want to go there or not. Okay. But when you told me what you had pictured, and then you said, I must've been in the right place at the right time. And then you told me more and more that this happened, what I said to you, and I believe this wholeheartedly, you are a truly powerful, gifted manifester. You've got the law of attraction down to a science and an art. 90% of the world can't do what you can do. And again, wasn't coming from ego, neither were you. And we were talking about this, but you are. And I don't know if you're comfortable sharing that story, but with what you created, with what you pictured, and then you found that, you created that.
I humble myself completely. I don't let this go to my head in any sense. I just want I want the people that are listening now to know that I humble myself. As she says this to me, I accept it, but I humble myself. I'm at the service of humanity right now. This is what you were saying before. Just before we go on that path, because we could cover so many things. I didn't think that this was going to be such a comfortable. I was kind of nervous coming on. I got to tell you. Yeah, I was nervous. I made a shitload of notes. Oh my God. I've done my homework. I didn't want to make mistakes.
The first time we talked, we connected immediately. I said, oh my God, we could have just done a show with what we talked about. And this is how my shows always are. If you really want to know, being a psychic, and I believe in guides and angels and stuff, I'm not religious either, believe in a higher power. I just have a little conversation and say, take it away, wherever it goes. And we just have all pieces of conversation, always.
You know, what you were talking about before, you know, like the person that says, take me off your friends list and stuff, you know, about 98% of the people that used to be around me are not around me anymore. I used to have a surrounding of people, like I shit you not, when I was in the forces, I had an 8-car laneway. Mm-hmm. I had a huge lot. Like I really had, like, I worked hard, I played hard. That was my mentality in the forces. I was completely in the matrix.
Yeah.
People would come over. We would party from Friday to Saturday. I'd be doing raves. When I'd show up on Monday morning to work, I'd be clean shaven. My boots would shine and I'd be ready to go. It was just the way I worked. But all those people, as I'm going through this, they're not there anymore. None of them. They're gone. They're gone. And I am left. I almost feel sometimes very comfortable in being alone. I'm more comfortable being alone than ever before. You know, I was very lonely for a while because all these people are going away from me. But even at times, I even question, am I doing the right thing? And something inside me, like this GPS, the God positioning system, my heart, and yes, you are, keep going.
Yes.
So I've completely changed my tune now. I've let go of so much toxicity, you know. All these narcissistic, egotistical people that used to be around me are not there anymore. I'm not money driven. I'm not interested in buying a new car, a new phone, a new thing. As we're going through the shift, and all those things that I used to be interested in, I'm not interested in anymore, right? You must be going through something very similar.
Well, when you were mentioning about losing everything, and I was planning on being a doctor myself, I have my degree in nursing. I didn't plan on having an accident out in the community that took away my career. I was in bed for almost 20 years, but I wasn't planning on having my second child with extreme autism. So how I've always looked at life is, you know what, I know so many parents that had to quit work because they because of the severity of the degree of disability with their child. And my son still is. He's very much like about a 5 to 6 year old at 22. No problem now. But what I looked at, the fact was, you know what? It was like a higher power was looking out for me, because no, I couldn't have gone to medical school. I would have had to quit. I would have, was I making the money I was making as a nurse? No, but I still had a small pension coming in. It's tight. With my divorce, I lost everything. With the paranormal experience that we had in our house, I had to leave the house. I lost the house. I don't own anything anymore. I don't have credit cards anymore. No, that's not from a pity point of view. I've since realized, does it really matter? Never mind the fact from working in palliative care. I said, I've been there at the beginning of life. Hundreds of times I've been so blessed to see it start, being a NICU nurse at deliveries. And then in the community, I worked in palliative care, and I've been so deeply honored and blessed to be asked to be there as a healthcare provider with families, members that have chosen to pass at home. Wow. But what I realized with having these conversations with people, and I've looked after people that have been very well known, possibly through the world, they've had money, they've had whatever, every single person always had regrets. And what the regrets were: I spent too much time worrying about money. I spent too much time planning for the future, that when I had this or when I had this or when I had that, I would do this. I didn't spend enough time with family. I didn't let the people know that I loved them. I didn't realize, like you said, and we all go through this, even as a light worker or people with an awakening, it's almost like you need to take a relationship evaluation. The people that are around you, you were talking about frequency and vibration. It's true. We don't vibrate on the same frequency anymore. And they may not even see where you're coming from. No. They may not. And no. Same thing when SHIT hits the fan, that's when you find out who your real friends are.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'll tell you, There's a part, because this is also I've dove into a lot of biblical stuff. Okay, now mm-hmm. I'm not here to preach Christianity in any way. There's a lot of mystery in the Bible. If you walk into a Masonic lodge, there's a Bible, right? They know the esoteric knowledge that's in that Bible, and I've been discovering a lot of stuff. And we're in the period of the separation of the wheat and the tares, of mm-hmm. the narcissists and the empaths, mm-hmm. right? And I've discovered, like, people in my family that I used to question myself, am I wrong? Am I doing something? Like, is mm-hmm. it me? And I've had to actually let go of close relationships in my family. I don't even talk to them. Like, some of them, I haven't spoken to them in 2 years.
Yep, me too.
And I am fine with that. I'm fine with it. Completely fine with it. You know, I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a quick story before we continue. I used to be part of a multi-level marketing company in 2010. When I was going through this whole dark night of the soul, somebody approached me with a product. I needed to lose weight. I joined the company. I'm not going to name the name of the company. I had an excellent results in 30 days. It was just awesome. And mm-hmm. The buddy who had me join, within 2 year period, he was making $250,000 in this company, right? Mm-hmm. So here I am, 2012. I'm sitting on the beach, and I am having a hard time getting this business to work. There's a left leg and a right leg. I'll make the story short. You'll understand what I'm going to with this. Mm-hmm. But there's a left leg and a right leg. It's a multi-level marketing company, and I'm supposed to keep both legs even, right? So everybody on my I ask him, how many people did you have enroll? He tells me 60. So within 2 year period, I have like 160 people enrolled, and I have a hard time making $100 a week. He's making up $250,000 a year, and I'm thinking, what is going wrong? Like, what's happening here? So everybody I put in the left leg just keeps dropping off. There's two legs, left, right. The right leg just takes off, but the left leg, I got to keep him even so I can make money. And I'm thinking, if I have that left leg going, I'm going to beat this guy. I'm going to make, I don't know, if he's making $250,000, maybe I'll make $300,000 a year. So this is what happens. I'm sitting at the beach with a really good friend of mine, and I'm explaining the situation to her, and I'm saying, her name is Isabel. Isabel, I have a hard time getting that left leg going. Is it ever going to happen? And as I'm saying this, I raise my hands up in the air and I say, God, is this ever going to happen? Not that I think God is up there, God is inside us, but whatever. God, is this ever going to happen? And at that very moment, a seagull landed in front of me, and it was missing its left leg.
Wow.
I shit you not. Oh. I shit you not. It's mm-hmm. and I now I'm telling you the story again. Every time I tell the story, my hairs stand up. And it's just like... And then she looks at me and she says, I think you got your answer. And I didn't understand, but I understand it today. Had I gone down the route of making that amount of money after 2 or 3 years, today I wouldn't be interested. I wouldn't be awake. I wouldn't be following the purpose that I was put here for. Like, I truly believe we are here to complete a mission, each and every one of us.
Absolutely. You know,
that we have a mission in life. We have a mission in life, and our purpose is to discover this mission. And the mission is not a destination as much as it is a journey. So I understand now, had I gone down the route of having a left and a right leg in that business, I'd probably be making, I don't know, $500,000 a year maybe in that business. And I wouldn't be focused on waking people up, right? I wouldn't be focused in all this. But what my mission was not that. So there's certain things in our life that are pylons. They're like pylons. There's things that you hit that even though you want that, it's not going to happen because you're not here for that.
You know, right? What I find, so, though, this? Oh, sorry, go ahead. Finish what you were going to say.
No. Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. So like in 2017, I'm sitting at home with my wife and I'm looking up at the chemtrails. You know, I was very aware, David Keith, part of Harvard University, stratospheric aerosol injections and all that other stuff. And I see 2016, all the weather changes, the patterns change. We had that solar eclipse. Remember in 2017, August of 2017, we had that solar eclipse.
Yeah.
So we went into a 7-year period. There's another solar eclipse in 2024. There's one at actually 2023. There's another solar eclipse. 1776, there was another solar eclipse. So I'm connecting all these dots. Mm-hmm. And in 2017, after that solar eclipse happened, there's something that switched inside me. It's just like I knew I had to do a video. And I came out of the closet. Not as a gay or homosexual.
Yeah, I know. We were talking about this today. I was watching this about we were talking about this last night with my friend Gavin. We had on, because he's not really into UFOs and stuff, and he wrote a book about somebody's abduction experience. And that's exactly the word he was using as well, was being out of the closet when it comes to taboo subjects, if you will, right?
I came out of the closet, I grabbed my phone, I went outside in the backyard of the house that I currently don't reside in Ontario, but I'm still paying for, still now, not my home, but I'm renting a really nice place, by the way, but I'm hoping someday to go back. I'm hoping, but God knows, I don't know.
We still haven't gotten into why, right? You are where you are and why, because I'd love to go there.
I'll let you know. Yeah.
We've got, it's 11:24 my time. We have 30. About 30,
35. Let's make it a 5-part series.
You can get back as many times as you like. I have no problem with that. What I do want to say, though, we've got somebody new in the chat. They had quite a bit to say. Quantum Vortex Energy, and they say life exists all around us. We're visited all the time, and our civilian space program has found all kinds of things on the moon to indicate civilization previous, if not current. Zach Mann says, he's going to head to bed. He said he's got a 4-hour drive tomorrow because he usually calls in on Tuesday nights. Have a safe drive, Zach. Glad to have you here. And then Quantum Vortex says, at this stage, civilians are too intellectually and technologically feeble to detect, much less comprehend, the kind of communication that's occurring amongst more advanced species, and then mentioned about the paranormal. What I do want to add to that and sort of bring this all around back to our conversation, when you said that we have a mission when we come here, those are the kind of things I teach to people, that none of us are here by accident. We have the free will to not complete the lessons that we've learned to help evolve our souls, but we are all here for a reason. We pick our parents, we pick people around us, we pick these dark nights of the soul, if you will, and we have the choice not to follow that path. But the more we start to pay attention, I believe, and we start to wake up to our reality, okay, the easier almost life becomes. We start to see those signs around us, like you've been noticing numbers, the seagull in front of you. For me, it's hearts. I had a puppy. She's no longer with me. She left me, and I took a picture of it. It was the most perfect number one heart, PP heart, that you would swear it was done with a stencil. And I started noticing more and more and more. I now know that that's a sign from my guides, if you will. I'm on the right track, or just letting me know they're here. You're not alone. None of us are alone. And you are absolutely right. But I think the more, like you said, the more that we navigate away from why we're here, the more difficult life becomes, like you said for yourself with this this program you were in and asking, like, am I ever going to get this left leg going? It was almost because I believe that, you know, those that support us from the other side, they respect our free will, if you will. They can help us more. We just have to ask, give them the permission to help. Okay. But they give us nudges from the other side, like with you. Oh, you weren't meant to be doing that, right? No.
They bring us right back on track. And this is, and as I reflect back on my life, mm-hmm. like, I mean, I remember many, we can go through so many instances in my life. And I'm sure that you've been through so many instances in your life that you go, that is just too coincidental for it to just be a happenstance. Like mm-hmm. it had to happen, right? This synchronicity from Carl Jung. Like, you know, I've read a lot of Carl Jung stuff. And this is just amazing when you tap into exactly this energy and you just flow with it. Instead of going against the current, follow the current and just trust it. Just trust it, right? You're going to wind up where you need to be.
If you're not ready to even fight against it or go with it, I believe it was, I just had it in my head. Law of Attraction, they do it. It's a woman that channels a gentleman. God, I just had the name of her. She's huge in the Law of Attraction community. I know somebody will write it in the chat for me. But she channels a male guide, if you will. And he talks about exactly this. He says, if you're not ready to stop fighting the current or go with the flow, think about a canoe or, you know, a boat that you're paddling in a current. If you just stop, what happens? Stop, breathe. The current will turn your boat and take you in the right direction anyways, right?
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Hmm? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm blessed. I think, I'm blessed. And at the same time, it's fearful. Like life, I'm also dealing with the fact that you wanted to know why I'm here in Ecuador, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. This year, when this coronavirus hit in Wuhan, like last year, November of last year, I correlated it with 5G, right? I correlated it with 5G. That's the fifth generation, right? With the short frequency microwaves and all that stuff. I quickly correlated it, right? And I knew that they needed something. I knew innately inside me that they needed something to collapse this economic system. I didn't think they were going to come in so fast and hard, right? But they did. They did. So in February of this year, I quickly put the pieces together. I mean, I had the pieces already. It's just a matter of figuring, connecting it. And I quickly connected it. And so I picked up my phone and I made a video again. And as I'm doing these videos, I sometimes listen to my videos because I'm saying things that after when I listen to it, I go, where did I get that? Like, how did that? It's almost like channeling.
I just, you know what? You have to have psychic abilities. Every time I have a conversation
like channeling.
With you, you say the word right before, or I'm thinking about it. Yeah. You're right. And I said this to you privately. I do believe you're probably channeling because you said you don't plan for it. You just suddenly get an urge. You go live and you don't even remember said until
exactly after. it's like something nudges me on the shoulder and I just know I have to get on. I don't know what I'm going to be talking about, and I just do it. Mm-hmm. So I pick up my phone and here I am. I got my remote control and I'm very, when I was in Ontario, I switched my TV on, I put the Great Reset on, the World Economic Forum, I tie it into COVID-19. I'm telling them that they're using this to knock down our economic system. It has nothing to do with a virus. Nothing. Absolutely nothing to do with the virus. Nothing. Yeah. And I am coming out with all this stuff and I'm thinking there's something inside me saying, you got to go. You got to leave. You got to leave. You got to leave this place. Mm-hmm. Innately, that there is, and I've discovered this, like even like I just did a video last week on Klaus Schwab with the World Economic Forum. You know, in June, he was talking about this opportunity to bring in their new digital currency, you know, this Great Reset, right? And they came out with a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset, right? And he's written on the Fourth Industrial Revolution.
Of last year.
Right? And he's talking about this technocratic world. It's a technocracy is what they want to bring in. So it's all these pieces just fit together. And I am... At this point, I'm meditating, I'm praying, I'm looking for the kingdom within, and I'm just looking for, do I have to leave, right? And I felt, I had a vision. I'll tell you, I had a vision. Some people might think I'm crazy, but I was folding clothes at home. And this is how it happened. I did the video, I listened to the video, and it was just not one specific thing. It was multiple events that happened this year that brought me to Ecuador. And so I am folding clothes, I'm folding underwear, whatever I'm folding. And all of a sudden, I'm not in my room anymore. I'm outside in the middle of my street. I'm looking down the street. I see everything is grayed out. All the trees are wilted. All the grass is like burnt to the ground. And I hear a voice behind me say, "What happened?" And as I turn around, I see my neighbor, Jim, who's looking at me. And automatically, I knew at that moment that our government had left the terrain, that we had suffered a huge economic loss. We were in a complete economic collapse. And I felt my heart sink into my stomach. And I snapped out of it. It was a vision. It was like a prophet, almost like when prophets have a vision. Not that I'm a prophet in any sense, but it was very biblical.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm back in my room, I'm folding clothes, and I call my wife into the room. She's in a program, soap opera. She loves to watch Korean soap opera. She comes to the room, she says, "What's going on?" I sob in front of her. And I said, "Baby, we got to go. We got to leave. I just got a vision. I got a sign. We got to go." I said, "Babe, there's a huge economic collapse, and it's coming faster than we think." So she says, "Where are we going to go?" And she's from Ecuador. And I said, "Well, let's go to Ecuador. We have a house here." She has a house here. And I'm thinking, everything in Canada, if I'm going through an economic collapse, everything in Canada is what I'm going to do, eat maple leaves. Like in the cold of winter, what am I going to do, right? And I'm thinking, there's so much more to this vision than just the economic collapse. Now I'm figuring, I know Trudeau bought a shitload of vaccines, like mm-hmm. in the millions. Like, he bought 20 million doses of vaccine in September. He's funded $240 million for a potential vaccine that's being made in Canada right now. He's also announced 76 million doses on the 23rd of October for Canadian-made COVID-19 vaccine. They plan on giving this by spring of next year. They're planning on the economic collapse towards the end of this year, going into next year. And all this stuff. So I figured this out now, but I didn't know that I had to be in Ecuador. I just knew that this country is self-sufficient, right? There's not much importing of stuff. Everything you find here, the tomatoes, the apples, the oranges, like all the even avocados, like you name it, pineapples, it all grows here. Like there's hardly any importing. There's a lot of exporting from Ecuador. There's hardly any importing, and plus we have a huge network of family that are here. Like we have a lot of family on my wife's side. You know, I was blessed enough that she has a crap load of family here. And I would have to say about a quarter of them are awake. So when I speak to them, so they know why we're here. I'm not here on vacation.
You left everything, didn't you?
Everything. I boxed everything up. Like I'm that rich guy in that story in the Bible, and I don't know if that happened, but we are going through those biblical times. I'm that rich guy that went to see Christ and said, "What do I have to do to follow you?" And he says, "Well, go sell all your things and follow me." And he didn't. He went back to all his things. And I'm looking at my cars, I'm looking at my furniture, I'm looking at everything that I've worked for in my life, right, to get to where I was. Because yes, I went through economic bankruptcy years ago. But now I was relatively well. Like I have a relatively good income. You know, my wife has her business in Canada. I have a good pension. You know, we were doing well. Plus, I have a side business in Canada. And here I am. And I'm thinking, is it all worth it? Let's say they close the borders and I'm Canada, right? And my heart's telling me, don't stay here. You got to go. Like, you have to go. So I looked at my wife. I thought about my friends, and I thought, no, you know what? We boxed everything up. We put everything in our home. Like, it's all boxed up, ready to go for storage. I parked my two cars, and this took like a week and a half, you know? I put my two cars in the garage. I closed the garage door. I gave my keys to my neighbors, and I said, "I'll give you a call if you got to go." And I called a storage facility, and I arranged everything for on I could call them up and tell them store everything tomorrow, and it's all ready to go. All storage, I'm done. But I left that door open for me to be able to go back. Right.
Okay, so well, let's talk about this
someday
now.
I can go back. Yes, go ahead.
And I think that you can. There's been this leaked document that's apparently has come, for those who don't understand, from Canada. Our party in power with Justin Trudeau is the Liberal Party. Now, there's been a news agency that I still question everything, and I think we do. I think we have to be critical thinkers. I think we have to see where the source came from. Are we able to find it on our own? What date did it come out? And just because it may be telling us what we want to hear, especially, you know, a lot of people are in a lot of fear. It's a terrible place to be, to live life coming from fear, the unknown, where things are going, like I said, and we're hearing these things. Like the first talk I heard you talk about, that's before this document came out, is talking about the economic collapse, is talking and saying this is going to be happening worldwide about what's that?
They're not hiding it. They're not hiding it. There are isolation facilities being built right now in Canada. There are already isolation facilities that have been built. There are Chinese troops that are reported around the Vancouver area staying on reservations in BC. There are other also, now they are, okay, so just last week, there was a train, and I have this right here, that was reported, and I have this right here because I came across the report. It was by CBS TV affiliate WABI Channel 5 in the States that covered a train on the 21st of October carrying heavy armor and artillery seen moving north from Hermaine, Maine to Presque Isle. Now, after that, there's no more train tracks. So they're heading towards to the border of Quebec and New Brunswick.
You said right? They were going to go from east to west, because you were talking about there was a peaceful protest. Was it in Rimouski? It was in northern Quebec?
Yes. Well, they're doing the same stuff. I believe this is me, okay? I believe they're doing the same type of deal as what they're doing in Victoria, BC. And Victoria, sorry, in Melbourne, Australia.
Australia.
So Melbourne, Australia, the people that, the guys that are there are, the reputation that they have is that they're the balls of Australia. Sorry if I'm so crude here. Like, they are the balls of Australia. Like, these are the men of men. These are the manly men, right? The guys that have the most, they rise up. Like, these people are revolutionaries. They've always been historically, that's where the balls of the Australia were, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'd have to say that the balls of Canada is Quebec.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
These people, since I was a kid, the 70s, going with René Lévesque, Bill 101, these people would rise up, you know, on the turn of a dime, there they'd be on the street revolting. Like, they got a lot of balls. And I've worked with a lot of French troops for 15 years. I was part of the Royal 22nd Regiments, you know, the combat trades in Valcartier. I know how they function, the way they think. Like, they will say F you to the government at any point if they don't agree. So what happened in Rimouski was there was a peaceful protest that was going on. And the Sûreté de Québec, which are the provincial police of Quebec, were there. And they were just letting this protest go on. And a bus rolled up with these unnamed police men that were dressed in riot gear that came out with numbers on their backs. And they basically got into a troop formation. Now we know that they were UN troops. These are UN police that were there, United Nations forces that were there. And they went into the crowd and they got hard-ass with the people. They started finding people left and right. They had all the riot gear going. And what is it? The Prime Minister of Quebec also said that he would get, if he needed to, he would use force on people.
So the Premier.
And so he said,
the Premier? Like the Premier? Because we would
The Premier. The Premier of Quebec said that he would use force on the people if they did not submit to these COVID-19 restrictions. Mm-hmm. And obviously, people in Quebec are not submitting. So he sent in this bus, and I think it was a sort of showing the tough arm of what he has, his power. Right? He's on a power trip right now. So they handed out these $1,500 fines to all sorts of people that were there, and they took over the Sûreté de Quebec, and they forced those officers to hand out these illegal fines to those people. And now what they've done is they have actually blocked the northern and southern parts of Quebec, of the province of Quebec, and they are systematically moving themselves from the eastern part to the western part of Quebec. So they are going from town to town to town and taking control of these towns with these fines and these restrictions, and also with the use of force. So they have people that are UN forces that are unmarked, really with numbers on their backs. And how do I know that they're UN? Because the reports came out of Quebec, and I read those reports, that these are United Nations people. They have nothing to do with the province of Quebec, but they basically rolled in. And here's another thing. Somebody sent me a picture of the UN flag actually flying at Parliament in Quebec.
Is like Congress in the U.S. or is right? The outside, I've seen the one flying outside of our actual federal government building in Ottawa, the UN flag. They were talking about the Chinese flag. The Chinese flag got shut down. That's why I was giving Joe an elbow, because we had quite the discussion off air that he was saying there was no way the U.S. would ever allow Chinese forces into Canada. Mm-hmm. I have people I know that are in BC, and where they've been going is to the Northern Reserves, these troops. And you had said yourself that you know, police officers and military that swore an oath to protect Canadian citizens are leaving their jobs because they're refusing to take part.
Mm-hmm. I know. I personally know people in the military that have spoken to me that are leaving the forces or have left the forces already. Here's an interesting thing. I was just contacted by somebody through Facebook who says that she is at the border of Quebec and Maine. Really is. And she says that she's been seeing lots of helicopters flying over her home. So she said Chinooks. I don't know if they're Chinooks. They could be Blackhawks.
We spot them here. My husband noticed that. We could not believe it. Our airport, we've got an international airport here in Thunder Bay, even though it's only about 100,000 people. You can't get to the west or the east or the south of Ontario even without going through Thunder Bay. So anyways, our airport closes at midnight. We've been getting flights all night long, and Chinooks and government military helicopters going through here. We've been really, really, really shocked about this. Now, there was an article, I wanted to bring this up so well, we still had time. I'm going to have you back. You know I am. We've got so much
to talk about. Let's do it.
I sent this to you. It was sent to me by somebody else. And I always thank people that send things to me. So this is in no way to, you know, shoot down anything they sent me. But I know when I watch this, and I do trust some of the stuff Rebel Media covers, because it's better than our regular media, because it's 100% government funded. And we talked about this at the beginning of the show. We're not getting much truth from MSM or mainstream media. But it was an article. It was the person that owns Rebel Media shooting down this document that's been going around that supposedly has been released by somebody that was part of these committees that we're talking about.
You're talking about Ezra Levant is what you're talking about.
Yeah. And you know, there were a few red flags for me in that document. I wasn't convinced. And one of them was, he said this is the second time he had to discuss this, that he was very disgusted that people that are paid to be basically fact debunkers were fooled by this document. But as you hear him talk about it, he's assuming that these committees that are being mentioned are fundraising committees for the Liberal Party. Just because the person doesn't give you the exact name of the committee within the government that's being utilized and again, you just have to look up this document that's been released. He wasn't even sure if there were committees like this within the Liberal Party in part of that.
No.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, and he's saying that he's debunking this, right? Mm-hmm. He's basically debunking it. I agree with you. He wasn't even sure if there was a committee like that was set up with the Liberal mm-hmm. government. And so he assumes that it's a false document on some of those pretenses. But I've read this document, and I'm telling you, like, when I correlate this with what I notice, and I have the document right here printed out, and I correlate this with what the World Economic Forum is talking about, the Great Reset, with the timelines, because I don't just listen to one documentary and stuff. Like, I literally go and sit down and read them. Like, I literally read them.
I read
this document, right? It just coincides so much with what is on the timeline for the vaccines that they want to bring in for next year, right? Because this is mainstream. They've been talking about these vaccines being released for the spring of 2021. And when you read this document, it mentions the same kind of stuff. And I'm like, wow.
And global reset, not just, this is not just applicable to Canada. They're saying this is following suit with other countries across the world. So, and like you said, it's coinciding with a lot of the other research that you've done.
Absolutely. Oh, yes, yes. And they're talking about that, like, they are going to, so we know for a fact that the central banks are bankrupt. They're bankrupt. Like, the money's not worth anything. So they need a reset. They need a reset. This COVID-19, this extra lockdown that we're having, the second and third, is completely, there's no way that we're going to ever, even if they lift the restrictions, there's no way we can recover from this economic disaster that has been caused, not only from this COVID-19 hoax, but from all the overprinting that has been done consecutively since 2008. There is no way we can recover. No way. They need a reset. They need a reset. But so just the way they explain this.
Quickly, I was just going to say, what concerns me is this debt relief program that they're talking about, that basically people aren't going to be able to work.
Oh, yeah, sign over. We're going to cover all your debts and you'll be at zero, but you're going to have to carry this digital passport.
And you don't own anything. You don't own anything at all.
You don't own anything. Nothing. And it goes completely with what's Agenda 2030. You know, like there's a document there's a document on the World Economic Forum. Okay.
Yeah.
Now the headline is probably not exactly these words, but it's this: I live in 2030. I own nothing, and I've never been happier. Mm-hmm. And that's from the World Economic Forum. So we know for a fact that they don't want us to own anything, not a car, because they wanna hustle and they wanna put us into these smart cities. Right. This is what it is. It's a complete. See, this Agenda 2030, sustainable society that they want to create, this World Economic Forum, like you can dress it like you want, this new Bretton Woods system that they want to bring in, right? It's a complete transformation of the way we function in every section, every sector of our life. Like if you train to be a lawyer, you won't be needed in this new world order. If you train to be, a cook in a restaurant owner, a chef, you won't be needed in this new world order. Like they have
already 50% of small businesses are already shut down. And this is what this document's talking about. No further small business, only big box stores, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like this is what we're heading to, like what we're heading to. And you really have to go and read, like go listen to Klaus Schwab. You have to, like, this guy's been running the World Economic Forum for 40 years, you know.
How do we spell his last name?
What's that?
How do we spell Carl's last name for people in the chat if they want to?
S-C-H-W-A-B. Schwab.
Charles, you said?
Klaus, K-L-A-U-S.
K-L-A-U-S, okay, Schwab.
Then S-C-H-W-A-B. He wrote a book called The Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is not an industrial revolution. I'll tell you exactly what it is, because we got like 10 minutes left. As insane as this sounds, this is exactly what it is. And even I, when I talk about it, I feel like I'm talking like I'm insane, but I'm not, because I've dove into this, and more than one way. Okay. What it is a technocratic society run by an artificial intelligence central unit. Every sector of your life is going to be dictated by this artificial intelligence unit. It's a complete surveillance system. This vaccine that's coming is going to change the way you act. It's going to change you. You won't be human anymore. It's going to genetically modify your DNA strand, especially at a level called the RNA 8.
Yeah.
Your thoughts won't be yours anymore. you'll be connected and uploaded to this thing, to this intelligence unit, whatever it is. And you will basically be part of the Internet of Things, is what it is. You'll be like a hive mind, like the Borg. And they've been, see, if you look at Star Trek, you see that United Federation of Planets, it's the UN sign, is what it is, right? So they brought in the Borg. Interestingly enough, in Star Trek, they also talk about Q. Interestingly enough, they talk about Q, right? In Star Trek, right? The next generation. There he is, Q. It's all predictive programming. The human collective mind is shifting to a different state of awareness. This is our ascension. Ascension is simply the awareness. Is what used to be close to your face is now further away, and you can now be aware of everything. The apocalypse, the revelation, you now see the bullshit for what it is, and now you're discovering your quantum nature of who you are. So before this happens, these people, who are not really people, I think they're demons in disguise, these 11-strand DNA people that run this world are about to lose their food, you and I. They don't want to lose their food. They're like farmers. They've been farming us for so many years. Now, with the shift of awareness, we don't need them anymore in power. So they are gripping. They are slowly increasing their grip on humanity. So you don't ascend. So what they are creating is their false ascension, their false world. Instead of you ascending to the true nature of who you are, because me and you, Laura Lee, we are one. You're a reflection of me, and I'm a reflection of you. This is who we are. We tap into this frequency, and we are one. So what they're doing is they're creating this artificial one where people are going to be uploaded into this digital technocratic world, and you're going to be one with AI. As a matter of fact, in the vaccine that they want to inject, and not just one vaccine, multiple vaccines, there's a chemical that they've created called luciferase. Luciferase. They want you to be part of this Lucifer system. Lucifer is not so much an entity as it is an information, the bringer of information. See, as Aquarius is actually the pourer of knowledge. He's not pouring water on us. He's pouring knowledge on human, on us, on our quantum nature. So we're becoming aware. So they are replacing this transitional, this astrological shift that we're going through. And they're creating their own shift. Now you're going to be connected, not to, the pouring of knowledge, this quantum universe of the Aquarian age, but you're going to be connected to Luciferase, Lucifer. He's going to bring you the knowledge. See, even Elon Musk was alluding to this, that in a short amount of time, see, they already have this technology available. You just have to get, they have to determine the way, the best way to connect humans to this as quickly as possible before we make this jump, this quantum shift is what we're going through. I hope I'm making sense here. But Elon Musk already
sense. I hate to tell you this. We always finish about 5 minutes early. So I only got a minute left for you. So because I want people to know where to find you on. And I want to have you back on. You have to come back on, please.
I'll be back on. I'd love to. We could talk about a whole bunch of stuff. But what they're doing is they want to insert a chip. This is the eventuality of this, is exactly this. The future is coming so fast is that humanity won't procreate anymore. It's going to be cloned. Star Wars alludes to this. The Clone Wars, the clones. It's a cloned society where people procreate anymore like man and wife. People are going to grow like in test tubes, in plastic bags, sort of like we saw in the movie The Matrix. And you will be connected. In your mind, you will have a chip where if you think of like what is a boat, the information will be automatically uploaded into your mind. And whatever you learn on the other side of the earth, I don't think we live on a globe, by the way, but wherever we live, I don't even know if it's a flat earth, a concave earth, I don't care. But if you're in California and you learn a certain thing and I need to learn that thing and I'm living in Africa, it will automatically be uploaded into my mind what you learned, automatically. So there will be no more sense of humanity, of self-discovery, of individuality. You won't know what it is to be an individual. You will be part of a collective. You will have no privacy. You'll live in a smart city. You will never be you. You will always be the AI unit. You will be part of the Lucifer system. This is absolute insanity, and this is what we want to avoid. So I truly think, and before we go, I want to tell people this, okay? The only way you can get out of this is by discovering your true nature, cleaning up your life, and living a righteous life by always choosing the right road, always choosing the right things. Because ultimately, death is not the end game.
Oh, not
death is not the end. No, there is another existence, the quantum existence. You definitely have access to this eternal life, this ascension period, this ascension of your quantum nature, your true self. So mm-hmm. you discover who this are, and literally, as I've been discovering through this, who I am, I'm letting go of the fear, and I'm embracing my future, because I don't want to reincarnate here. This is a whole different topic, but reincarnation. I don't want to come back and incarnate again and be part of this Lucifer system. I cleaned up my act. I've done so much stuff. I'm not the same person, but I want to let you know there is hope. There mm-hmm. is hope. But you gotta stick in truth. And sticking in truth means speaking up for the collective, mm-hmm. not being afraid. Don't live in fear, right? Death is not the end. Follow your God positioning system, your heart, and discover who you are. I don't know if you want to add anything, Laura.
I do. Well, I'd love to have you back on to talk more about this, because people are going to have a lot of questions. You've given them a lot of information to digest tonight. I'm going to talk to you. I'll talk to you anyways, probably sometime tomorrow. And we'll talk about this, because I'd love to have you come back and we'll talk more about this. But we talked about a lot of topics tonight that I've talked about before that I think will give people a lot of food for thought. So when you're listening to this, either on the replay or what, if you've got questions, where can they find you? One, they can, and then I'll tell them where to find me. And then, we'll have to see you tonight.
Find me on Facebook at Juan Antonio Manzur. So that's J-U-A-N and then Antonio, A-N-T-O-N-I-O. And then Manzur, that's Mike Alpha November Zulu Uniform Romeo. So M-A-N-Z-U-R. You'll see me. I have a UN pic there. I'm hanging off the side of a building. Connect with me there. I'd be more than happy to friend you. And also, if you'd like to write me personally, you can write me at Surrock, S-U-R-E-R-O-C-K, @hotmail.com. I have other emails also, but I'll keep that for next time.
You can contact me. And I just want to remind you, if you want to ever get a hold of me, you got a guest idea, show idea, you want to book a reading, any healing sessions, you can get a hold of me on facebook.com/TheAngelRock. I have two groups on Facebook, Paranormal University for all things paranormal and The Angel Rock for all things esoteric, things we've been talking about tonight. It's called The Angel Rocker Tribe. I will be back next Monday with The Angel Rock at 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're having Augie Nost on, and he's been shown two timelines with the outcome of the election, which happens the next day. So we're going to talk about that and see how we can maybe help manifest what one can show up. So it's going to be interesting. You guys all have a wonderful day, evening, afternoon, wherever you may be. I send you much love, and I send you deepest, deepest gratitude for being here. Juan, can't wait to have you back.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Just waiting for Joe.